8 o'clock having arrived, I'm going to call the taxes committee to order. Welcome, members. We do have a quorum, and we have some February 25th, 2020 minutes to take care of, and Representative Leslie Gard, did you have a chance last night to review the minutes?
I'm all over it, yeah.
All right. Representative Leslie Gard moves approval of the Tuesday, February 25th, 2020 minutes. Any discussion? Hearing none, I'm going to call for the vote. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed say nay. Motion does prevail. February 25th, 2020 minutes are approved. All right. We are going to move to a handful of bills today, all dealing with sales tax exemptions. And by the way, for those of you who are looking for tax handbooks that are out for members, see Ms. Templin. She's got those tax handbooks for members. I know we always wait every year for those to come in, so they're there. Also, just as on these first four bills that deal with public safety facilities and that, the Representative David's bill that we heard last week, was it, or early on, would actually at least partially cover all of these first four. But so this is, we're kind of taking them individually. So with that, we have Representative Fisher's bill, House File 3561. Welcome, Representative Fisher. And who would like to move that for possible consideration? Representative Chong will move House File 3561 for possible inclusion into the tax omnibus bill. Representative Fisher, welcome.
Good morning. Thank you, Chair Marquardt and committee. I appreciate the opportunity to present House File 3561. This bill is a bill that will allow the city of Maplewood to apply for a sales tax refund on construction materials for a new fire station that they'll be building in the city. At this point in time, I'd like to keep it short and sweet and turn it over to our mayor, Mary Lee Abrams, to start explaining about the project, and then I have two other testifiers after her.
Very good. Mayor, welcome. If you would identify yourself and begin with your testimony.
Certainly. Chair Marquardt and members of the committee, thank you for the opportunity to testify this morning before you. My name is Mary Lee Abrams, and I am the mayor of Maplewood. We're here today to ask for a sales tax exemption for construction materials and equipment to help lower the building cost of a new fire station that we are planning. It will replace a 45-year-old facility that, quite frankly, I'm embarrassed that we have in our city. It is simply not suitable for our dedicated firefighters and paramedics, and it lacks any space in which I'd be proud to have a community gathering. Community collaboration, inclusiveness, and transparency are at the heart of our city's strategic goals. Our public safety department professionals are among Maplewood's strongest community outreach, and the modernization of our fire EMS operations highlights that. Maplewood's fire and EMS needs are growing. Our overall call load is expected to reach 9,000 calls for service annually by 2025. That's up from 6,000 calls at the end of 2018. More than 85% of those calls are medical in nature. We began studying our fire service needs back in 2017. Our public safety professionals realized that the increased call load trend will continue as our population ages and our residents become more diverse. We formed a citizen-led task force, which included healthcare professionals to help examine the issue and find solutions. We also hired an independent consultant who conducted a comprehensive study of our fire EMS operations and made several recommendations. They included transitioning to a full-time department, which we successfully carried out in 2018. They recommended reconfiguring command staff to ensure the proper level of supervisory skills on all shifts. And they recommended reconfiguring our fire station locations, to improve efficiency. This included building a new north side fire station. Chief Mondor will highlight the details of the new station, but there are two aspects I'm most excited about. One is improved safety and cancer mitigation features of a new station and ample community gathering space. Because of Maplewood's unique geography, we border many communities. I'm always striving to position our city as a regional asset in the East Metro, and a state-of-the-art fire station will help ensure that we do that. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And so, members, if all right with you, I'm going to have the other testifiers come up, and then if you have any questions at that point, because they may answer your question you might have. So, thank you, Mayor. Next, if you, sir, if you'd identify yourself.
Thank you, Chair Marquardt, members of the committee. My name is Michael Mondor. I'm the chief of EMS for the Maplewood Fire Department. The Maplewood Fire Department has spent the past several years studying our service delivery to ensure that we deliver the most effective emergency services to residents and visitors in the city of Maplewood. Over the past several years, our firefighters living in the North Fire Station have experienced heating and air conditioning issues, leaking and frozen pipes, sewer and drainage issues, along with several other mechanical and electrical issues. In addition to meeting basic departmental needs, the new station will account for modern-day safety, wellness, support, administrative, operational, living and apparatus needs. Specifically, the project will allow the department to address two major causes of firefighter fatalities. Firefighters face a 9% increase in cancer diagnosis and a 14% increase in cancer-related deaths as compared to the general population. And while we've taken several steps to address these issues, there's still work to be done. The new station will have a dedicated gear storage area for clean gear, eliminating exposure to diesel exhaust and other contaminants commonly found in the apparatus bay. There will also be a dedicated gear washing and decontamination area that allows employees to remove and bag their turnout gear and shower for final decontamination before entering the clean areas of the fire station. The leading cause of firefighter death is sudden cardiac arrest, accounting for nearly 43% of firefighter deaths in the United States. This new station will have a dedicated workout space, which we currently do not have, and will ensure that our firefighters are improving their cardiovascular health so that they're physically prepared to care for our community and safely return home. The station will also feature multi-purpose rooms for community and emergency operations use, and a multi-purpose exam room that will allow us to conduct firefighter examinations and allow walk-in medicals and blood pressure checks for the public. At this time, we anticipate that we would occupy the new station in quarter four of 2021. These improvements do not come without significant costs. The fire department is extremely grateful for the support that we have received from city administration, Mayor Abrams, and the Maplewood City Council. If approved, House File 3561, a sales tax exemption could save us an estimated $500,000 towards the total project. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, Chair Marquardt and committee members. My name is Melinda Coleman, and I am the city manager of Maplewood. Happy to be here this morning. Thank you for your consideration on this tax sales exemption request. As mentioned, the $500,000 projected sales tax savings would help us to continue delivering on our promise to our city council and our residents to provide high-quality public services now, but also in the future. I'd like to thank the members of our Maplewood legislative delegation, that's Senator Minority Leader Susan Kent, Senator Chuck Wieger, Representatives Peter Fisher, Tu Zhang, and Leon Lilly. As we embark on this plan for the future of our department and modernizing our fire EMS, we appreciate the support and guidance that we've gotten from our legislative delegation. They were very eager to assist us with the preparation of this request before you today. Our delegation has always been reliable partners who participate in our community's many cultural events and our other community celebrations. They have helped us with our transition to a full-time department, which you've heard about this morning, and they've also helped us with our regional fire training center and other legislation that have improved our residents' quality of life. Our testimony today, we know, is just the first step in a complex process, but because of our legislative delegation's dedication and professionalism, I'm confident that they'll help us get to the finish line. So I'd like to thank you very much for your time today and also for your service to the state of Minnesota.
Thank you very much for your testimony. Members, any questions of any of the testifiers? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Is there anyone in the audience that would like to testify on House File 3561 that's before the committee? Seeing none, members, any questions of the author or on the bill? Representative Fisher, any closing comments?
First of all, Chair Marquardt and committee, I want to say thank you for the opportunity to present. Maplewood does a great job, and I wanted to let people know that the station not only serves the city of Maplewood, but the surrounding communities. White Bear Lake is very close by, and there's a lot of mutual aid that happens between the departments. And so this is not just about one community, but the surrounding areas. So I want to say thank you for the consideration. I look forward to this being included in your bill.
Thank you, Representative Fisher. Thank you to the Maplewood officials for testifying. Thank you so much. Representative Chong renews his motion to lay over House File 3561 for possible inclusion into a tax omnibus bill. Thank you very much. Next bill on the calendar, Representative Carlson L. House File 3278, Representative Fabian.
Mr. Chair, before we move on, it breaks my heart to have to say this morning, but I have to say congratulations to Representative Lean. He's not paying attention, of course.
Representative Lean, I think we've got a hockey story coming.
Yeah, Spuds beat the Rams last night in the section final 3-2.
Ooh.
Congratulations, Representative Lean.
Wow.
Was it back and forth, Representative Baby?
No. We were scrambling from behind the whole night.
Okay, all right. We'll go no further with this.
You guys were doing your silly stuff on the floor, and we were watching the hockey score.
Very good. Well, all right. Well, we'll keep tuned on how our local teams do now.
But the girls got consolation ship.
Very good. And it's state wrestling this weekend,
yep.
Of course. So.
Greenbush.
Yeah. Yes, Greenbush. And Detroit Lakes on the on double A out of the area. So.
Sorry, Mayor Carlson.
So. Are you ready?
Representative Carlson, we're talking hockey and wrestling. I mean, what more is there happening here? So.
So just a short story before I make a motion.
Representative Carlson.
3278 be included, but I have a daughter that, for possible inclusion, I'll make the motion.
All right. Representative Carlson L. moves House File 3278 for possible inclusion into the omnibus tax bill.
And,
very good.
Being that you referenced hockey, I've got a grandson in Northern Kentucky that's in fifth grade, and he plays hockey. And my daughter called me a few years back because he started, you know, how they start pretty young with hockey.
Yes.
And she said, his name is Cooper, and she said, Cooper's going to be playing hockey. And I said, hockey in Kentucky? And then she said, well, Dad, we live a half mile from an indoor rink, so it's spreading through the country. But they live just out of Cincinnati. You know, it's on the Ohio or on the Kentucky side.
Very good.
At any rate, I
will say I do have my nephew qualified for state from Morehead High, so I'll be trying to make it over to the wrestling. And also I know Detroit Lakes wrestles today. I don't know if we'll get a break enough to make the wrestling. But.
I
guess we could adjourn early here today. Representative Carlson.
Okay, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, House File 3278 deals with the sales tax exemption on construction materials for the police station for the city of Crystal. And I have with me the city manager and the police chief, and they're prepared to make a few comments in terms of what the fiscal impact would be and the need for the sales tax exemption. So I'll ask our city manager to start off, perhaps, Ann Norris.
Very good. Good morning and welcome. Please state your name.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Committee. Thank you, Representative Carlson. The City of Crystal is requesting sales tax exemption for construction of a new police station. Our current station is terribly out of date, inefficient. We have vulnerabilities in our evidence storage and chain of custody that we are very concerned about. The total project is about $16 million. Of that, $13.4 million is for construction costs, and of that, approximately $6.7 million is for construction materials. So we anticipate that the exemption would be about $400,000. The Crystal Police Department, which the chief will discuss, does a lot of cooperative work out of our department with our neighboring cities and other agencies. So it's really important that we have an updated facility that is safe, that keeps our employees safe, that keeps the community safe, and protects our assets, our fleet, and our equipment. so I'll turn it over to Chief Revering.
Chief, please state your name.
Absolutely. Good morning, Chair and Committee members. My name is Stephanie Revering, Police Chief with the City of Crystal. Thank you for having us here today and to Representative Carlson. As City Manager Ann Norris said, our police department is outdated. It was built in the 1960s. We have simply outgrown it. And also, as she said, we do a lot of community engagement projects with our neighboring cities, but also we embed several people into our facility from Hennepin County, from Cornerstone Domestic Advocate, and so on. And we're hoping to continue to do so. Our evidence room, as City Manager Ann Norris said, is in five different locations, which is a big issue. It's a liability issue for us, and we also have some great need for plumbing issues and ventilation issues throughout the building. We have had several water leaks that have gone onto our evidence room and into our evidence itself, where we've had to actually take the irrigation and put dryers in and make sure that the evidence is secure and precluded. So that's of cause and concern for us. Also, our jail is a six-facility jail, 16-hour holding facility, and that is simply outdated and unsafe for not just officers but also the folks that we bring in there because of sight lines and visibility issues. And again, as I stated, we've outgrown it. We don't have enough locker room space for our officers and staff. Our armory is inside of a makeshift closet, which is completely unsafe. And so we thank you again for listening to our needs and appreciate it.
Thank you very much. Members, any questions for the testifiers at this point? Seeing none, is there anyone in the audience who'd like to testify for or against 3278? Any members, any questions for the author? If not, Representative Carlson, if you have some closing comments.
A very quick comment. A few months ago, I had an opportunity to tour the facility. And as it was described, it's a huge need. It's very crowded, as was pointed out. And there potentially could be, as I understand it, when there was reference to the evidence room, some potential problems in terms of evidence being secure and so on. It is needed, and the sales tax exemption would be of great help to the city of Crystal. And before I leave the podium, I'll just point out today, being that this is one of our fiscal committees, the forecast comes out. So we'll learn more about the availability of funds. Now, that's an aside, but I'll probably be leaving here maybe a little early to go over for the briefing. So
you will be excused,
Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Chair. So Representative Petersburg.
Any predictions?
Chair Carlson.
I have some thoughts, but, you know, now we're really getting off the bill. But but we did start with hockey, so I guess we're getting back in the legislature and wrestling, of course.
Yes.
But I sit in as an observer of the Council of Economic Advisors and, you know, the minority lead on Ways and Means as well has the opportunity to sit in. And I would predict that, and it's absolutely a prediction, that it's going to be somewhat close to the November forecast. Having said that, more than once I've been surprised, both directions. So. But if it's close to the November forecast, that wouldn't be at all bad.
Representative Carlson, would you like to renew your motion on 3278?
Yes, I would renew my motion that House File 3278 be included as a possible, for possible inclusion in the omnibus tax bill.
Chair Carlson renews his motion on House File 3278 for possible inclusion into the tax.
That's a motion I don't have very often in ways.
Exactly. You move things right along. Very good. Thank you, Representative Carlson. Testifiers, thank you so much. House File 2955, Representative O'Neill. And when you get to the table there, you can place your bill in nomination. Representative O'Neill, would you like to move your bill?
I would, Mr. Chair. I'd like to move House File 2955. I believe it's to be laid over for possible inclusion. All right.
Very good. Thank you so much. And I see you have testifiers. Welcome, if you would. Representative O'Neill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So House File 2955 is another bill, like the other two you just heard, for a tax refund for the sales tax to build a new fire station in the city of Buffalo. And they're going to tell you about the great city of Buffalo and how it's growing and how it serves the community surrounding. They are the movers and shakers in Wright County. And I say that because Representative McDonald is sitting over there. So Wright County.
Very good. Well, thank you, Representative O'Neill. And one always fun thing about these type of bills, you do get to hear a little bit about the communities, even though a lot of times it's the kind of situations they've got a remedy, but it's always nice to hear about the community. So very good. If you would introduce yourself for the committee and welcome.
Chairperson and members of the committee, thank you for taking your time to hear our proposal today. My name is John Harnois. I'm the Buffalo Fire Chief. And we want to thank you again for considering this tax exemption of, it looks like, $240,000 for the Buffalo Fire Station. City of Buffalo is a growing city, like Representative O'Neill said. When I moved to Buffalo back in 1988, it was a town of about 4,000 to 5,000, and now we're reaching 16,000 to 17,000 people. And that's just within the city of Buffalo. The Buffalo Fire Department not only serves the city of Buffalo, but it serves the surrounding townships, which includes five different townships. I don't have the total population of those townships, but it's somewhere in the neighborhood of 23,000 citizens that we have. Our current fire station, as the others have said, is in disrepair. It was built in 1962, which is almost 50 years old. The fire station is small. It's not big enough to house the current trucks that are being built today. The trucks that we need today have to do a lot more things. They're multi-purpose trucks, so they're getting bigger, and they no longer fit into the smaller stations that were built in the 50s and 60s. With the addition of this new fire station, we'll be able to put our bigger trucks downtown. This new fire station is going to be downtown Buffalo. All of our bigger buildings and newer buildings going downtown, we have multiple multi-family buildings being built right now, and they're four or five-story buildings. So it'd be an advantage to our community or community and public to have our biggest truck, which is our ladder truck, downtown, which the new fire station would allow us to do. Having the truck downtown will increase our response time to these facilities. The new facility will also allow us to have better training facilities. Our current station downtown has no training facilities. It doesn't have proper facilities for washing gear. Cancer awareness and cancer mitigation is a big thing in the fire service right now, as the first fire department had stated. Buffalo has had 5 cases of cancer out of 35 firefighters in the last 10 years. So the cancer mitigation is very important to us, and the new fire station allows us to be able to control some of that. Diesel fuel is a new concern, and possible cancer cause or a carcinogen. The new fire station has ways to mitigate that problem and ventilate diesel out so we don't have diesel exposure to our firefighters. And as the first fire department said, we're going to have separate rooms for our firefighters' gear. We're going to have rooms for clean gear, dirty gear. So we're going to be able to separate all of that and handle that cancer mitigation. The new training facility will allow us to train our firefighters better. We're going to have a wellness area so our firefighters are more fit. We're going to have facilities to do maintenance on our trucks. We'll have better maintained fire trucks than what we currently have. Currently, we have to take our fire trucks outside in the wintertime to maintain our trucks. And when it's 20 below zero, it's a little hard to do that properly. So,
thank you, Chief.
You're welcome.
Welcome.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Committee members, my name's Steve Downer. I'm on the City Council. I think the chief covered it very well. Two points stand out in my mind when I considered this locally. One was the equipment we need to service the buildings downtown has to be kept in a different facility on the north side of town across the railroad tracks, which is a whole nother issue at times. And the cancer mitigation features of the new facility will be greatly enhanced. And I think, you know, we need to do what we can. I mean, people put their lives at risk to protect us, and we need to do what we can to ensure their health and safety. So that's why we supported it.
Thank you very much. One question I have for the chief, and I don't know if you know this or not, but I'm hearing all these requests kind of, and with the cancer and that, where you're looking at two rooms where you come in, you can clean your gear and be in. I presume most of the fire stations around the state do not have kind of the separation. Is that, or what do you know about that? I mean, I presume some of these older stations, none of them have that capacity.
That is true. Yeah. A lot of the departments are working toward that, to have that separate gear room. I know our station, you start up a truck, it shoots the exhaust right into our gear room. Oh. We don't even have a gear door in our gear room currently. A lot of the fire stations, they'll have their gear storage along the walls, and that's in your truck base. Yeah. So that's going to be a continued problem throughout the state. Yeah. I know all the new fire stations that are being built will have a separate gear room.
Yeah. Very good. Thank you. Members, any questions for the testifiers? If not, is there anyone in the audience that would like to testify on House File 2955? Hearing none, any questions for the author? Representative McDonald.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative O'Neill, since you mentioned my name, I just want to let you know that five of the Delano Tigers will be wrestling tomorrow. So we'll be supporting them, go Tigers. And then also, is that where's the new fire hall going to be built? Is it on the current one downtown? Is that where it's?
Yeah, we're going to move it right across the street from the current fire station downtown.
Right next to the Catholic Church.
Representative McDonald.
Yeah, it'd be on Central Avenue.
Yeah. Mr. Chair, it's
Representative
right
O'Neill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. It's, you know, where the post office is on Central. It's right next door to that, and there's an empty lot there now, kind of across from where they are now.
Yes, thank you.
Representative McDonald.
I know exactly where it's at, right across from the Catholic Church, so you can get up to the steeple if there's a fire there, right? With the ladder truck?
Yeah.
Good idea. You have my full support.
Representative O'Neill, any closing comments? You know you have Representative McDonald's support, so I think you can keep it short from this point on.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, especially since Buffalo does assist in his district as well to keep his residents safe. So it's a $7.7 million expansion, a new building, and this $240,000 that they say will really help the residents. And it's a growing community, quickly growing, and I think Wright County is one of the fastest growing counties in the state right now and anticipated to grow even more in the next 10 years. So they definitely need it, and we really appreciate your support of it today.
Very good. Thank you. Would you like to renew your motion, Representative O'Neill?
Yes, Mr. Chair, I renew my motion.
Representative O'Neill renews House File 29 renews the motion on House File 2955 for possible inclusion of the tax omnibus bill. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, testifiers. next on the agenda is House File 3280, Representative Lehman. And would someone care to move House File 3280? Representative Fabian?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would move House File 3280 for possible inclusion in the tax omnibus bill.
Very good. Representative Lehman, welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Chair Marquardt, and members for hearing our bill today, 3280. With me is Grand Rapids City Administrator Tom Pagel, and we're here today. We've been before Chair Carlson's committee to talk about a jail project in Itasca County, and this is connected with that, because if our county does build a jail, if they continue to add on to their existing jail downtown, they will likely do so right over our existing fire hall. And so the fire hall will need to be demolished and a new fire hall constructed to make that happen. So we're trying to obviously save costs wherever we can with this pretty significant project. So I'm here today with this bill and Mr. Pagel to talk to you about a sales tax exemption on building and the materials for the new fire hall should it need to be constructed. And I'm going to turn it over to Mr. Pagel to give the details.
Thank you very much. Welcome. Please state your name.
My name is Tom Pagel, City Administrator for the City of Grand Rapids.
Very good. Please proceed. Thank you.
So as Representative Lehman had mentioned, the relocation of our fire hall would be a result of the expansion of the Itasca County Jail. We have a very good relationship with the county. The jail benefits everyone. Our original fire hall was constructed in 1967. Similar to the information you heard from the City of Buffalo prior to us coming up here, we would be including those safety enhancements as well. What this allows us to do is right now, we are currently the regional hazmat team. We don't have enough room in our current fire hall, so we've got equipment spread throughout the city. We have some apparatuses at our public works garage, some at our airport. By relocating this fire hall down to our city-owned property, it will allow us to bring all of that equipment into one location. Another benefit of reconstructing the fire hall is we have a very good relationship with the City of Cohasset. We have mutual aid agreements with the City of Cohasset. Their fire hall will remain on the north side of a Burlington Northern rail line, while the relocated fire hall that we're talking about will be on the south side of a rail line. So we'll be able to service both sides of that railway system in case crossings were closed. The other benefit is our fire hall currently sits on a busy street. The apparatuses have to back into the fire hall. This will pull those emergency vehicles off one of our busier streets in the city.
Very good. Any questions for Mr. Pagel? Seeing none, is there anyone in the audience that would like to testify on House File 3280? Seeing none, members, any questions for the author? Representative Lehman, you're just sliding right through these committees lately here. So any
really
closing
enjoyed,
comments?
Yeah, well, thank you, Mr. Chairman, enjoying my time in front of tax committees. So thank you for this time. And I just thank you for consideration. And this is really important for a couple of reasons. It would solve a lot of problems in Grand Rapids. So I appreciate your positive consideration.
Thank you very much, Representative Lehman. And Representative Fabian renews his motion to lay over House File 3280 for possible inclusion into a tax omnibus bill.
Thank you.
Representative Lehman, Mr. Pagel, thank you very much. So, Representative Hewitt, we have actually two bills that are the same. Representative Hewitt, and I think Representative Sandstead will be here. And what we're going to do is we're going to move House File 3320, which is the Hewitt bill, and go through normal everything, testimony, and so forth. And then we'll come back and do just kind of a routine on House File 3362 because they're the identical bills, and we'll move that one too. So, yeah, and we'll have both authors speak at that point. So, Representative Lestigard, you want to? Representative Lestigard moves House File 3320 to be laid over for possible inclusion into the omnibus report. Representative Hewitt, welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. This is a really good bill. I personally am involved with concessions in my own school district, so. What this will do is basically exempt the sales for fundraising by certain student organizations. These organizations are similar to the sales that are concessions, spirit wear at the elementary level, the secondary organizations, and the purpose for activity sports and different stuff like that. And you know, the fiscal note came back on this yesterday at around $700,000. That's spread throughout the state. And, you know, some of these districts only, this is maybe like $35 to $40, but as, oh, he left, didn't he? As Representative Fabian knows, $35 is the difference between a bus leaving for with a team on it and not. These school districts for their sports are really tight, and they need every dollar. And on top of this, this also created a problem within the districts. It's kind of cantankerous that the districts actually have to go back, file the sales tax, and different, it actually creates some burdensome on the financial staff. And I would like to see this bill go through.
Thank you very much. So, Representative Sandstead, we have not moved your bill, but we're going to have you speak to it right now, and then we'll move it later. But Representative Sandstead.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Chair and members, I have House File 3362. It's basically identical to what you just heard with Representative Hewitt. It removes a new requirement that school-sponsored groups collect sales tax on fundraising activities. This is already presenting hardships for students, parents, coaches, and advisors of athletic, academic, and artistic teams and clubs within our schools. Previously, a student group or club could raise up to $20,000 annually under exemption for fundraising, sales, or for nonprofit groups. The exemption was eliminated following a provision in last year's omnibus education bill, which now requires school districts to take charge and control over all extracurricular fundraising activities to be in compliance with the Government Accounting Standards Board's principle. This change, in essence, treats school-sponsored, teams and organizations differently from booster clubs, which, as 501c3 organizations, aren't subject to sales tax, despite fundraising activities by both going to the same purpose. Many high-profile sports have booster clubs, but smaller non-academic teams and clubs often do not. Our coaches and advisors of school teams and clubs are extremely dedicated, and they already put in countless hours on weekends and evenings for little pay, often on top of their work in the classroom. As part of their dedication, we shouldn't expect them to go through the hassle of filing and administering a separate nonprofit simply to avoid collecting and paying sales tax. A one-act play advisor in my district told me about how her students hold a large fundraising event each year, a pasty bake, perhaps not very surprising coming from the Iron Range. The students put in the labor of making and selling the pasties, and this event funds things like annual banquets, t-shirts, and occasional trips like lessons at the Guthrie. With this exemption gone, now students are responsible for collecting a sales tax. Please just think about what I said. Students responsible for collecting sales tax at a pasty sale. As this committee does its work, the difficult work you do every session to determine our state's sales tax policies, our key value of fairness should be at the forefront. To that end, I think we have the responsibility to ask, to whom exactly is this provision fair? Mr. Chair and members, I thank you not just for the opportunity to hear this bill, but I ask for your support.
Thank you very much, Representative Satz. See, this is what happens when other committees try to do tax policies. I mean, you can't have the amateurs doing it, and now we have to clean up the mess. So here we are today, just a lesson to be learned. Somehow in the language there, I don't think they maybe figured these tax implications would be there, and so here we are, and it really is something we have to fix. So you want to comment now, Representative McDonald, or do you? Can we go to a testifier? Representative McDonald.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. I had a question for Ms. Dalton, but we can certainly proceed with the testifiers if you wish.
Yeah, well, Ms. Dalton, or Representative McDonald.
Ms. Dalton, I think it was 2018, we passed the sales tax exemption for civic groups and nonprofits of 501c3s and 501c4s. Wouldn't these folks fall into that category for the fundraising activities that they raise?
Ms. Dalton.
Mr. Chair, Representative McDonald, this was a really interesting concept. These student organizations aren't 501c3s. They don't file really separately. And so they were included in this nonprofit fundraising exemption, but the law as it exists right now says, but schools don't qualify for it. So if funds have to go through the school, then those are taxable sales. So what happened is, over in the education department, they were just trying to clean up accounting issues. And so generally accepted accounting principles required that the school districts have any money that's being raised by student organizations go through the school books. They changed the law to require that to meet the generally accepted accounting practices, not having any idea that they were impacting the sales tax exemption. And so that's why we need to kind of fix it.
And Representative McDonald, for full disclosure for the committee, I am on the Education Finance Committee. We have a testifier.
And so, Mr. Chairman?
Representative McDonald.
So you're fixing your own mistake.
We've got a testifier here. We've got to move on. So please, welcome. Please identify yourself.
Thank you. Thank you, Representative Sandstead and Hewitt, for bringing these bills forward. My name is Tracy Fierk. I'm the executive director for CMERDC in St. Cloud. And I want to thank committee members and chairman and Mr. Chair for having me today. CMERDC is a joint powers organization established in 1965 to provide software solutions, cooperative purchasing, and support to member districts in the surrounding Central Minnesota schools. We've grown to provide software and support solutions to over 300 educational entities in over 19 states. I'm here today representing our member districts, MASBO, the Minnesota Association of School Business Officials, and MSBA, Minnesota School Board Association. We are here supporting the language modifications presented in House File 3320 and 3362. In January 2017, the GASB, Government Accounting Standards Boards, released GASB Statement Number 84 related to fiduciary activities. The objective of the statement, which wasn't a bad idea, was to provide guidance on how various types of activities not related to the core focus of educational entities should be handled. I was invited to join the subcommittee developed by the Minnesota Department of Education to assist in establishing rules and guidelines specific to Minnesota public schools. In the process of defining all the various types of things that happen in a school, it became very clear that we are going to need to make some significant changes to the way student activity accounting was handled in schools. I won't bore you with more of those details because it's probably more than you need, but after many discussions at MDE, conversations with representatives from the Government Accounting Standards Board, we determined that at that time we needed to roll those student activities into the general fund of the district. This is where the unintended consequences of that decision came into play. Minnesota Statute 297A, 7, Subdivision 13, which addressed fundraising for nonprofit groups, allows for a $20,000 exemption per activity. However, when all the activities became lumped together in the general fund, that exemption is often used up by one fundraiser. So the remaining fundraisers in the year, as Representative Sandstead said, need to either inflate prices to collect those sales taxes, or they do not collect sales tax and the general fund of the district is paying those sales taxes, or they sell items that are exempt from sales tax, such as, you know, holiday candy. Instead of doing that, we're selling more candy instead of that wrapping paper that might have been sold before. At the end of the day, we're just shifting tax dollars from one pot to another in the state. And at the end of the day, is that really necessary? The fiscal impact of the collected funds is really minor in the grand scheme of things. And the language proposed in House File 3320 and 3362 restores the $20,000 fundraising sales tax exemption per activity. So for club, they'd have a $20,000 exemption versus all lumped together. The groups I represent, MASBO, Minnesota Association of School Business Officials, and MSBA, Minnesota School Board Association, fully support this modification. I want to thank you for having me today.
Thank you very much. Any questions? The testifier? If not, Representative Petersburg.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm just a comment. Another option, of course, Mr. Chair, would be just to eliminate the school districts have to pay sales tax altogether.
I stand for that. Oh. Yeah, that'd be great.
Representative McDonald.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. See, I got a question. I got a text from our neighbor selling, the baseball team's going to sell salt, softener. And they do that for all the community. It's a lot. They raise a lot of money. Would they be subject under a sales tax for those groups that have to, you know, I'm just curious. Oh, I should keep my mouth shut.
Open the door.
Ms. Dalton.
Hypothetically speaking.
Representative McDonald, is this a high school baseball or softball team?
Representative McDonald?
Mr. Chair, in this hypothetical scenario,
yeah.
Yes.
Ms. Dalton.
Mr. Representative McDonald, yes, they would, under our current law, if we don't pass this.
Without this change. Without this change.
Yeah. But chances are that's a booster club.
Hypothetically, they would be. Any other questions for Ms. Furyk? Or if not, I'm going to go to the audience. Is there anyone here that would like to testify on House File 3320? See none. You know, we hadn't mentioned the revenue notes on these other ones, and, you know, we should be actually mentioning that. So the first bill we heard was $180,000 this year. The second bill was $150,000. Third bill, $120,000. The fourth bill was $40,000, just so you get an idea of what those sales tax exemptions would be. This revenue note would be $660,000 in this here. So any other questions for either one of the authors of these bills, and then we'll move House File 3320. But so Representative Hewitt, Representative Sandstead, any closing comments?
Well, members, as an educator myself, I just think this is a really important piece to pass. In a perfect world, utopia, schools wouldn't have to fundraise. But that's where we're at, and we really are not intending to tax our kids and tax, you know, the things that they need to do to support the out-of-school activities or extracurriculars. So thank you for considering this, and I urge your support.
There you go, Representative Hewitt.
Again, committee and Mr. Chair, thank you for hearing this, and I'm going to leave you with this. The lines are long at the concession stand, and we try to teach our student helpers to count back change right now. To teach them how to do a sales tax on top of that would be terrible. So please help me.
Thank you very much. Representative Les Lagarde renews his motion to lay over House File 3320 for possible inclusion into the omnibus tax bill. And then if someone could move, and we're not planning to discuss anymore, House File 3362, Representative Erickson.
Mr. Chair, I'll move 3362 for possible inclusion in the omnibus bill.
And very good. Representative Erickson moves to House File 3362 for possible inclusion into the omnibus report. Thank you very much, members and authors. Final bill on the agenda. House File 2980, Representative Grunhagen. Would someone like to move House File 2980? Representative Petersburg moves House File 2980 for possible table for possible inclusion into the tax omnibus report. Representative Grunhagen, welcome to the committee.
Well, thank you, Chair Marquardt, and I want to thank the members of the committee for hearing this bill. The I also want to thank you for saving 45 minutes for our presentation. Hopefully it won't take that long. But what this has to do is the sales tax exemption for capital equipment. Bartles Trucking, a small business in my district, is looking to do a $20 million expansion in a very small community, Green Isle, that serves a number of businesses in the region, and there's also a lot of additional jobs that would be created, and also a lot of efficiency created out of this. I have with me today the Chief Financial Officer for Bartles Trucking, who will testify first, and also the Mayor from Green Isle.
Very good. Welcome to the committee, if you would identify yourself.
Thank you, sir. My name is Alan Smith. And I'm actually the vice president, general manager, also Bartles Truck Line. Bartles Truck Line is a family-owned Minnesota-based trucking firm that's been in business in Winthrop since 1942. I came to Bartles in 2012 as the general manager. And one of the odd things that I noticed right off is we haul mostly USDA food stuff. And we were transporting truckloads of product to Sioux City, Iowa to store it because there was no facilities in Minnesota that had the capability because of the amount of freight that just wasn't, didn't have the ability to do it. So we decided that we would construct this facility in Green Isle. We plan on, at the end of the expansion, probably adding 25 new jobs, starting at $22 an hour. Not only will it add jobs to Green Isle and possibly bring service companies there, but additionally, Michael Foods and another large company in Norwood, due to the production issues, are going to use our facility as storage and then be able to add production lines, thus adding more jobs at their facilities. So at the end of the day, we feel like we're bringing a good-sized facility to a small town in central Minnesota that needs that support, and we just see that there's a real need for us there.
Thank you very much. Mayor.
Good morning. Thank you, Mr. Chair and the committee. My name is Joe Krieger. I am the mayor of the city of Green Isle. For those not familiar, Green Isle is about 50 miles southwest of the Twin Cities, just out of the metro, seven counties. I believe after the 2020 census, our population will be around 700, which doesn't sound like much, but around the year 2000, I think we bottomed out at about 250. Mm-hmm. So we have been growing. And we're tickled pink that this Bartles would come to Green Isle. We have our industrial park set up about for 20 years now. We have three businesses out there, a major beer distributor in the state of Minnesota. And this business would be great for the economy of Green Isle. 25 jobs, which may not sound like a lot, with a town the size of 700 is a lot, and we think it'll sell some houses for us and attract some other businesses. So I certainly thank you for listening to us this morning, and hopefully you'll consider our proposal.
Thank you very much, Mayor. And maybe I missed this, but Mr. Smith, how big of a facility will this be?
It'll be about 58,000 square feet. It is a 75-foot building that'll be able to house 10,256 pallets. And then there are two additional expansions that are already in the making, so that you'll end up with about 108,000 refrigerated and about 52 of frozen.
Very good. Thank you. Members, any questions, first of all, for the testifiers, the mayor, Mr. Smith, Representative Schultz?
Thank you, Chair Marquardt. Yes, would you consider building this if you did not receive this tax subsidy?
Smith?
Yes, I mean, we would consider it, but from a financial standpoint, when you have a family-owned operation that is actually financing $27 million worth of equipment and building, I've been given the job of taking a gentleman at 72 years old and protecting what his family has earned, and basically he's putting everything that he has on the line to ensure this happens. So I guess the bottom line would be yes, I feel like we would want to go forward, but would it make it difficult? Extremely.
Representative Lee.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Is this an existing business in the community that just wants to grow? Is it a new business that would be moving in? Are there other locations for your business in the state or in the area?
No, sir. Actually, the transportation company is in Winthrop. The Green Isle facility will be a brand new standalone business. The building will be built. It's not an expansion. In a way, it's an expansion of what we do, as we do a lot of shuttling of product for these customers. But rather than taking it to other facilities, we'll just take it to one and have it under roof. But it is a new facility in a new place.
Very good. Representative Leslegard.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Is the city going to be the fiscal agent?
No, we will not. This will be privately financed.
Representative Leslegard.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Is this typical? Do we normally do business, or is it normally go through a city or a community as a fiscal agent?
Ms. Dalton.
Mr. Chair, Representative Leslegard, this isn't exactly like a grant to the business. This is like, for instance, most manufacturing has a capital equipment exemption. It used to be a refundable exemption like this one is, but now it's an upfront exemption. This is essentially granting a warehousing business the same type of capital equipment exemption that manufacturers have.
Okay. Thank you.
Could I add something here?
Mayor?
Just a little side story, but the commitment by the Bartles family to really be a part of the community has been just tremendous. Where this building is going to be located, it's taking up about 3 acres, 75 feet high. So they want their neighbors to be happy. This thing is going to look good. I've seen, you know, the drawings and stuff. And they offered, we had a gentleman that owned 3 vacant lots right across the street. And they bought the, I talked to the gentleman. And I said, if you're not happy or if you're worried about this, they will buy the 3 vacant lots from you. The deal was done within a day. He bought 3 other lots in town. So they're making a huge commitment to try to make the citizen, to partner with the city to try to make everybody happy about this project. And it, I can't explain what it'll do for our city.
That's great. Is there anyone in the audience that would like to testify on House File 2980? See none. Any further questions or comments from the members? Representative Fabian.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I think Ms. Dalton helped out. It's not unusual that this happens in, I'll say, the private sector, okay? So it might be a little bit on different format here, but it's not unusual that this would happen. So thank you for hearing the bill.
Very good. Representative Grunhagen, any final comments?
Yes. And thank you again, Chair Marquardt and the members of the committee for listening to this. I'd like to talk about the fiscal note, okay? It's $740,000. It's an exemption on the capital equipment, which is inside the building. And as was mentioned by Ms. Dalton, I'm getting help here. I know. He needs it. This isn't unusual for manufacturing. So this bill is structured very narrowly in this particular situation. We're not looking for an expansive, and it would help them get over the fiscal hump here. We're talking about a private business. Therefore, there's risk of going out of business, okay? And we're going to bring jobs to a small rural community, and we know our rural communities are hurting. The other thing I'd like to say is this is going to service region-wide businesses. Right now, you've got letters inside your packet. Bungard's Creamery, Crystal, Michael Foods, which is a huge chicken producer, and also Le Sueur Creamery. They're taking their excess production and sending it down to Iowa. So Bartles Trucking is trucking all this excess production from these regional businesses, taking it to Iowa, and then going to pick it up and bring it back again, okay? So we're creating jobs in Iowa and tax revenue. I want to emphasize the jobs, the 25 jobs that will be created at $22 an hour. And when you figure benefits in, it's $31 an hour. Remember one thing about fiscal notes. We can score them statically or dynamically, okay? We should be scoring private business investment dynamically. And if the Government Operations Committee would have passed my bill several years ago, we'd be doing that, okay? So what I, just a side note. Anyway, if we take $31 an hour times 40 hours, which is, you know, salary and benefits, we're talking about 25 jobs that generate $64,480 of income for people out in a rural area. You multiply that times, that's per job. You multiply 25 jobs times 64,000, you've got $1,612,000 of salary and benefits coming to a rural area. When you multiply our middle income tax rate, state tax rate in Minnesota on those salary and benefits versus Iowa collecting the salary and benefits for storing this stuff,
You're talking about $962,200 of tax, state tax revenue in the next 10 years to the state of Minnesota. So this static fiscal note should really be scored dynamically, and you owe us money, okay? Or no, we owe you money. What I'm trying to say is this is going to have a positive effect on tax revenue long-term to the state of Minnesota to help fund our schools, to help fund our HHS budget. And these people are taking the risk to do that. The least we can do is help them out. We did not ask for a sales tax exemption on the building, although if you want to sweeten the pot, we'd accept that. We tried to, we don't want to wear out a welcome here, but we tried to make it reasonable. And again, if it was a manufacturing business, they'd have that. And we're simply asking for that type of consideration so we can increase the tax revenues for the state of Minnesota. And finally, my last comment, how much time I got? Oh yeah, I got another half hour yet. maybe this is, maybe this isn't my last comment. But finally, Chair Marquardt, the rumor is that the Bartles Trucking is a strong supporter of wrestling in our area. Okay. I'm sorry, it's basketball, but they're switching.
Thank you very much. Representative Joachim has.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I don't know if the mayor or Mr. Smith could answer this. Are you using tax increment financing or other incentives in your industrial park?
Yes.
Mayor?
Yes. We have a plan TIF for this particular project.
Okay.
Representative Joachim.
Mr. Chair, and I'm just also trying to understand the cold storage, too. Is it we just took one down in Hopkins. It had a lot of remediation. So what's the longevity of this building? I know with the technology, things change, and we worry about Freon and coolant and...
Yes,
Mr. Smith.
Right now, from what I understand, talking to the engineers, 25 to 30 years so far that they have and have had no issues whatsoever. So what I tried to find out is with the use of Freon as well as just the robotics itself because of the cost of it. But for 25 years that they have had studies on it, there has been no issues because we were concerned on the Freon issue too. But it seems like they've come a long, long way in that.
Representative Joachim.
Mr. Chair, thank you. I was just trying to understand it a little more. And then another question, too, is currently you're talking 20 to 25 jobs, and it's already an automated facility. As technology changes, would those jobs have the potential of going away?
No.
Mr. Smith?
I'm sorry. Yes, nope. Actually, just to give you a kind of a combination, Michael Foods is a plant, produces and can hold 13,000 pallets. It's a traditional warehouse. They have 73 forklift drivers full-time for $3.3 million salary just to operate that. We'll have no forklifts. Our people will be more or less your IT, watching the computers, monitoring the screens, watching the temperatures. So really it's more of a updated version than it is actually a warehouse.
Representative Joachim.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. All right. And then also one last question. How long is your TIF district for?
Mayor?
10 years.
Thank you.
Well, it'll actually be 9, I believe. It's said to be 10.
Very good. Any other questions? If not, Representative Petersburg renews his motion to lay over House File 2980 for possible inclusion. And I know I've missed layover on several of these motions, so we'll just amend all these other ones that I have said to reflect that. So thank you very much, Representative Grunhagen. Thank you for bringing this forward.
Thank you
so much for bringing this project forward. So,
thank you.
Members, I think we've completed our work. Good luck to all the activities and teams. Representative Fabian.
So, Mr. Chair, at some point, you know, we did a lot of these things. It would be good for the benefit of me being new on the tax committee. I know that we heard bills last year on these fire halls and police stations and so forth, and kind of the history behind that. I think at some point it would be good to revisit that again, just so that I can get a refresher on the history of it and why, and is there a better solution than having, you know, these fire stations and so forth coming here and doing this, we've got to be able to figure out a way to streamline this process so that the door can be open for everybody.
Yes, Representative Fabian, great
question.
We've got
a couple of bills, the Swedzinski bill and the Davis
and,
bill.
Well, right, yeah, right. I mean, Representative Davids, we heard that bill that would have exempted kind of all of these kind of just overall. And last year, in conference committee, the only kind of the sales tax exemptions that kind of got through were the ones dealing with public safety, kind of the fire and police, and the other ones didn't make it. But we can certainly provide that data on kind of what bills were heard last year and which ones made the final cut and so forth. Yeah. Members, good work this week. We are adjourned till next week.